Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and happy Tuesday afternoon to all of you. I am Andrew Langer in for Tony Katz today on Tony Katz Today, and we're going to hear from Tony Katz today. Provided the internet doesn't poop the bed at some point in time today. We'll talk about this in a second. Tony's going to join us in the next hour to talk about his trip to Israel. You can always check me out at Andrew_Langer on Twitter. Not even gonna direct you to any of the Meta platforms because of what's going on there. But we do have a jam-packed show today. Speaking of which, Peter Giedel, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it right. Peter Giedel, he's at Return, which is part of Blaze Media. We're going to talk to him about what's going on with the intranets today. We've got Edward Bartlett to talk about title. I think it's title 11. It may be title 9. Tony's joining us. A guy named Jared Knott is joining us as well. We've been talking about Steve Baker, the reporter from Blaze. He is joining us as well today. The guy who was arrested last week, investigative reporter charged by the FBI under the J6 investigations. We got Richard Lyons joining us to talk about sanctuary cities, and Mark Mix from the Right to Work Foundation to talk about what is going on up in Michigan. So we definitely want it's just jam packed today. So you're going to stay tuned to all 3 hours of Tony Katz today. Anyway, a couple things to start off with. If you may have noticed, and actually, if you haven't gotten the news on it yet, this is very important stuff here. You may have noticed if you have Facebook or Instagram, and I know us boomers are a lot more inclined to use Facebook than we are Instagram. But if any of these Meta, that's the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, et cetera, they've all gone down. So if you tried to log into these platforms on your phone and it's been telling you to enter your password, it's not that you've been hacked. It's not that something is broken with your phone. It is an indication that something is going on. Now, I, of course, tweeted out that this is very, as the young people would say, sus or suspicious. The fact that it's Super Tuesday morning. By the way, happy Super Tuesday morning to all of us. Super Tuesday to all of you. I have voted. I'll get into that a little later on. But it seems like it's a whole bunch of platforms that have been affected. And we don't know if it's an attack or not. We don't know what's going on. There are rumors floating around. Here's what I do know. I do know that, at least as far as I'm concerned, and of course I'm the center of the universe, Facebook and Instagram are down. Messenger I was having problems with as well. Then I was noticing that my AT&T connection was really slow, apparently. That's down. While I was getting ready for the show, my Alexa, yes, I use Alexa. You can hate on me all you want, but I love my Alexa. My Alexa went down, right? It's connected to my internet. Clearly, I have internet. It hears me, but it can't do anything. So lots and lots of platforms going down today. That is the big breaking news on this Super Tuesday. I got another fun story. I may come back to this later on, but this is the thing that's on my mind today. This popped up. Now, you all know, outside of the work that I do in radio, boy, my voice broke a little bit there. Outside of the radio work that I do a lot of work on regulatory issues for the Center for Regulatory Freedom at the CPAC Foundation. I love it. It's a great passion of mine. You know, radio is a great passion of mine, but the policy work that I do, especially the regulatory policy work, I am incredibly passionate about. And one of the things we've been talking about is what I've called and talked about on these airwaves, the whole of government approach to ideology, which is to say that this administration is finding ever new and unique ways to pursue their ideological goals, their woke goals. So as I've said, one of the examples I've used is the issue of religious freedom, right? Where they went after religious freedom for doctors who don't want to perform abortions. They did that at HHS. They went after religious freedom in student groups through the Department of Education. They went so far as to use the Department of the Interior's National Park Service to go and call for the removal of the statue of William Penn from Penn's home site in Philadelphia, great champion of religious freedom. And in that vein, right, the erasure of American history, and this is the thing that gets me. I may have a clip somewhere. I don't know if I grabbed it. I don't think I did. I think I held off today because there were so many other things going on. You know, folks carping about the fact that it's the right that wants to erase history, which is a flat out falsehood. The right is not interested in erasing history. We want warts and all. What we don't want to do is focused on and say that America is defined by the negative things that have happened in America. That, yes, of course we should talk about slavery, and of course we should talk about racism, but we should talk about how these things stand against the principles upon which the nation was actually founded, and that among the principles we have enshrined in our Constitution, in the preamble, is that we are searching to form a more perfect union, right? We, the people of the United States of America, in order to form a more perfect union. That is an aspirational sentiment in what is ultimately an aspirational document. And what is, in essence, an aspirational nation. We aspire to be better. We aspire to be more perfect. The left wants to get rid of all that. They want to focus on the fact that because we are an imperfect nation and a flawed nation, we need to erase our history. Anyway, what's the latest example of this? Hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen. You know, hold on to your seats because it's going to be a rocky ride. I know that Tony has a lot of World War II veterans as listeners, or anybody who was alive while we were fighting the Second World War and was elated when we had total victory after the victory over Japan in August of 1945. And that elation is summed up in a picture of a sailor having grabbed and kissing passionately a nurse in Times Square. It is an iconic moment, an iconic photo. And today we learned that some undersecretary at the VA, I kid you not, guys, an undersecretary at the VA has taken it upon herself to demand that this picture, this iconic picture of a joyful celebration of our victory over the Japanese in World War II, after we had been brutally attacked just under 4 years earlier, that photo has to be removed from all displays within the VA. Memorandum dated February 29th, 2024, from a woman named, and we can get into this later on, Rima Ann Nelson, Assistant Undersecretary for Health for Operations. There's a mouthful. And again, I got a whole thing for her. Subject, removal and replacement of quote-unquote VJ Day in Times Square, unquote, photographs. Purpose, this memorandum requests the removal of the VJ Day in Times Square photograph from all Veterans Health Administration facilities in alignment with the Department of Veterans Affairs' commitment to maintaining a safe, respectful, and trauma-informed environment. This action is promoted by the recognition that the photograph, which depicts a non-consensual act, is inconsistent with the VA's no-tolerance policy towards sexual harassment and assault. I'm reminded, and I'm going to paraphrase this, a quote from Orwell in 1984. There is no past, there is no future. There is only a present in which the party is in control of everything. I know that's a paraphrase. I'll look it up to find the real thing. Later on in the show, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Rima Ann Nelson and her astounding career of falling up, being emblematic of everything that is wrong with the federal bureaucracy. Everything that is wrong with the federal bureaucracy. Photo by famed Life magazine photographer Alfred Eisenstadt. This is, and this person writes, is an affront to the men and women who won World War II. Absolutely. I'm Andrew Langer. This is Tony Katz Today. We are back. I am Andrew Langer in for Tony Katz Today. Part of Tony Katz Today. I appreciate you all joining me. Joining us right now is a gentleman named Peter Giedel. He is the managing editor of Return, which is a Blaze Media's tech vertical. You know, in the new terms that we use, their tech outlet. And Peter, it couldn't be a more timely moment for you and me to talk. What's going on with these outages? I noticed before I came on the air that my Amazon Alexa was down. My 5G service on AT&T was slowed. What's going on?
Well, thank you for having me on. Well, I don't know if there's anything specific besides everything seems to just be working worse and worse every single month. You know, it can be a lot of things. There was that huge, AT&T outage,
right?
I believe last week, and it really, people were worried about EMPs and a lot of different things. But it seemed to be most likely incompetence of the company that caused that particular outage. So we're seeing a lot of that in a lot of different fields from tech, but even, you know, cities and just things don't work as well anymore, unfortunately.
Well, there's that. I mean, listen, I follow tech policy quite a bit. I know there's a lot of talk about spectrum and spectrum usage and all of these things. But you know, yeah, this is significant. As I've been telling folks, if you got up this morning, you got up late and you tried to log into your Facebook account on your phone, it's not your phone's fault. There's something going on with Facebook and Meta and Messenger, et cetera, today. Tell us a little bit more about Return and what you guys are up to there.
Absolutely. We're trying to cover technology and the online world in a new, different way, where we don't hate technology. We love, there's a lot of cool, interesting things. But there's a lot of stories getting missed by mainstream media that either hate technology for various reasons,
right,
or they're completely on board with governments and mega corporations spying on you, controlling your data, suppressing opinions they don't believe in. So we think it's a really important time to have, excellent journalists out there kind of covering these stories, covering these issues, paying attention, and bringing the information to our readers.
Which is all vitally important these days right now, to say the least. Because you're right. I mean, we are at a time where we are having all of these discussions about this. You know, it gets into, I don't know if you probably didn't hear what I was talking about before, which is this story that broke this morning about this undersecretary at the VA is now demanding that are you familiar with the iconic picture, the kiss in Times Square on VJ Day?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I don't know if you've heard about this, but this undersecretary at the VA is demanding, the Veterans Affairs Administration, is demanding that this picture be removed from all VA facilities in the guise of some nebulous vision that it was non-consensual, therefore triggering to a certain segment of the VA population. We all know this is garbage. My point in raising this is that with regards to this free exchange of ideas, and I've been rereading Orwell's 1984, there's a huge focus on the erasure of the past and this issue of collective memory. The reason why freedom of information on the web is so important is to hedge against these impulses on the part of the left to erase our history and gaslight all of us. What are your thoughts here?
Absolutely. I mean, it's an astute observation. I had not, unfortunately, heard about that story.
It literally just broke this morning.
That photo, which is, and you know, in some ways, you can sit there and go, oh well, you know, it's another government overreach, and they're taking them out of something. Is it that big a deal? The problem is that same impulse is across all most government agencies and a lot of these companies. And now they actually have the tools to erase the past because everything is online. Everything is digital.
Right.
The history is in Wikipedia. The books are online. And they can, you know, with a touch of the button, make things disappear, remove books, make it much harder to find information. And that is really concerning because they've never had that power before. This is a completely new ability to use technology to stifle entire histories, entire fields of information.
Listen, I'm going to give you a weird example of this. I'm a huge fan, as many of us were, of Saturday Night Live episodes from when we were teenagers. You know, for me, the mid-80s. And if you go back onto Peacock and the NBC platform, and you go and you watch old episodes or try to go and watch old episodes, there are whole sketches that have been removed. Obviously, we know that they don't have any of the musical guests on there because of the musical rights, but any sketches that had music in them are gone. And so things that might have existed in the recesses of your memory, you can no longer find. I'll give you an example. Stevie Wonder came on a show and I think it was the one where Eddie Murphy was actually back as the host. And Stevie Wonder was playing a Stevie Wonder impersonator. And Eddie Murphy had to teach Stevie Wonder how to be Stevie Wonder. And it's a right. You're laughing. It's a brilliant concept. Cannot be found on Peacock because it cannot be found unless you'd seen it, unless you knew about it, it simply does not exist. It gets to the issue of if you don't own something in physical media, you don't really own it, as I discovered when a bunch of videos that I bought on Amazon were gone. And so now I buy physical media and I actually rip it myself. I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I do it anyway because I just use it for myself. This is part of what you're talking about, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, absolutely. And I've never seen that episode. And
now you can't.
It's a great comedic premise.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's kind of, you know, that's one example. But it's the concern I have too is that it's different. It's difficult to even quantify,
right,
how much of this is getting changed or removed, or, you know, everybody kind of has a story where you start to notice this. And yeah, I mean, I completely agree. If you can have physical copies of things, or even the digital files that you do have, we have some primers and how-to articles on return.
Oh yeah,
explaining how to like protect your data and protect these things. So you know you should download these and back them up into, you know, hard drives, thumb drives, things like that you can access. But it's a difficult thing to talk about in some ways because we don't know how much is getting altered and changed. And then once it goes away, how do you even find that? I've been there. I don't want to go into too much detail, but
please.
I've been trying to find these previous magazine articles that were written in the early 2000s. And, you know, I'm pretty adept at researching and they just don't exist online.
Right.
So
right. And this is the thing. It makes it so hard. I'm sorry. Real quick, before I let you go, you wrote a pair of pieces in February having to do with banks and the unbanked and banks spying on people. We had a conversation yesterday with John Berlow from the Competitive Enterprise Institute about the Recoup Act. In the most general ways, because we got less than a minute left here. This is
sure.
a problem, the issue of banks spying on Americans and forcing people out of banks.
Absolutely. I'm going to Vegas this next weekend for the Replatform event, which is basically a lot of companies trying to help people who have gotten unbanked and canceled. As much as, you know, the left and SNL, to bring it back, want to laugh about unbanked not being a thing, it's absolutely
100%
a very serious issue that if you know, either left or right, if you start to go up against the regime and criticize, you know, the things that they enjoy, you are in serious danger of losing access to banking.
Listen, we got to let it go there. Peter Giedel, the managing editor of Return, thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Follow him at Peter Giedel, G-I-E-T-L, on Twitter, on X. I'm following him there. Listen, when we return, we're going to be joined by Edward Bartlett. We're going to be talking about Title IX again, other things that the left is doing. This is Tony Katz Today. are back, everybody. I am Andrew Langer, in for Tony Katz today. I found the quote, by the way. I'll read it later on. You know, so I'm not gonna confuse the issue. But I found the quote from 1984 that I was looking for about this. Yeah, this is going to be the overarching theme today. By the way, talking about this this situation with the VA and the VJ Day picture. By the way, I want to hear from you about this at @Andrew_Langer LANGER on X. I'm not even going to send you over to Facebook today because who the heck knows if it's open, but I want to know what you think. Message me on Twitter @Andrew_Langer. Joining us right now is Edward Bartlett to talk about. Edward, I got to tell you, your it came in as Title 11, and I knew that wasn't the case. It's Title 9. Again, talking about the sort of this Orwellian situation in which the various threads of reality are being pulled at by the left. Talk about what's going on with Title IX.
Yeah, sure, Andrew. So literally every night when I go to bed, I say to my wife, I say, you know what? The world is still insane out there. And what I'm referring to in part is this whole Title IX issue. Title IX, of course, is the federal law that was set up 50 years ago to assure to eliminate sex discrimination in schools.
Yeah.
And of course, that's good. But unfortunately, over the last 10, 12 years, Democrats have politicized and now weaponized Title IX. So they are actually proposing to change the definition of sex to include gender identity.
Wow.
And I mean, it's hard to fathom all the evil that's coming out of this, everything from biological males in women's sports to, you know, 8-year-old kids who are gender transitioning to pronoun mandates to, I mean, the list just goes on and on.
So this is interesting because I'm looking at this. By the way, Ed is with an organization called Save. Their website is Save Services, SAVE Services.org. They've got this, this piece that I got here. America's witnessing a seismic shift in popular views about President Biden's Title IX plan to expand the definition. Now, is this a rulemaking that's going on right now? Where do things stand here?
Yes, it is a rulemaking, and
okay.
When we use the word rule, we're talking about a regulation.
Yes,
right? A binding regulation. It is not actually in place as of today, but we're perilously close to this because this you know radical Title IX regulation has now been forwarded from the U.S. Department of Education. It's now sitting on the desk of a bureaucrat at the Office of Management and Budget.
Okay,
and that's the group that gives the final, you know, yes or approval or not. So we are actually urging every one of your listeners to go to our website and set up a time to testify to the OMB, Office of Management and Budget, explain why this idea is so utterly insane.
So I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, it's right here on your page. I'll tweet out about it in a little bit. So you can go and you can give oral testimony online for this, which is not something that a lot of agencies do with in these kinds of situations. And in my other job, I do a lot with the regulatory world. So you go and you click, you request the EO meeting, and they schedule a time, and you sit there and you give. Do they ask you questions, or do you just read your testimony?
Andrew, in the great majority of cases, you just give your one-way testimony for, you know, 15, 20, 25 minutes, and you won't receive any questions. But I do know in some cases they will actually ask you a question, but that is more the exception to the rule.
So, because, yeah, as I said, I'm looking at this right now. How long do you have to request these meetings? When do you have to do them by? Because I guess they started this out almost a little over a month ago on February 2nd. When does this meeting opportunity period close?
Well, it really depends on how much demand from the American public. And I don't know the total number of people, you know, setting up these meetings, but, you know, bottom line, the more people who set up these meetings. And again, you don't have to give a long legal treatise. You can talk from your personal experience about, one of your friend's daughters who one day was told that she was actually a boy in a girl's body. I mean, that's the kind of story. It's perfectly appropriate to share those stories because it shares the idiocy of this Title IX proposal. So, yes, do it, but do it sooner rather than later.
Right, and I'm looking at this. I mean, right now it looks like only about 100 people have made such a request here, but they're at least scheduling meetings out until the end of March. So that's a hopeful sign here. I'm looking at this. They have a meeting scheduled on March 28th. Folks, this is vitally important, right? One of those things. Let me sort of, Ed, I'm going to hijack for a second, if you don't mind, and explain this. So the way this process works is an agency puts out a proposal. And while it's not a numbers game in terms of, the number of people who reach out to comment on this, that's not supposed to necessarily sway how the rulemaking goes. It's about the substantive comments that they receive that are important. That being said, if enough people, it's like reaching out to your congressman, right? If enough people call a congressman's office to voice their concern about something, it makes the congressional staff sit up and notice. So in the last 2 months, we've had a number of different proposals. The William Penn thing that I talked about earlier, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you were following that, Ed, but the National Park Service was going to remove the statue of William Penn from Philadelphia, and there was a hue and a cry, and they pulled back from that. There was another one over at the SEC having to do with selling our natural resources to the highest bidder. That got pulled back. And so in these situations where if enough people do voice their concern so that the agencies know that they can't do this, again, the aforementioned VJ Day picture, I hope folks will say something. Then this is what tends to put a stop to these things. I know on your website here, Ed, which is again saveservices.org, you guys have some thoughts on this, but you guys are not putting together more notes that people should follow. I mean, how are we making it easier for folks to put together this testimony?
Yeah, on our webpage, saveservices.org. Click on where it says Day of America, Stop the Title IX Plan. We have lots and lots of resources, including editorials that have been published. But I think the point I really want to emphasize, Andrew, is, you remember, the Boston Tea Party, right?
Yes.
That's where
I wasn't there, Ed, but I heard about it.
Okay. Well, I wasn't either, but my history teacher told me all about this. This is where individual citizens said, hell no, the situation has gotten so crazy, so authoritarian, we are going to stand up and say no. And this actually happened, I think it was 3 weeks ago, in Connecticut, of all places, at Brookfield High School. And in Connecticut, they now have a law that says that all boys' bathrooms in schools must have a tampon dispenser.
Sure.
I'm not joking when I say that. So they actually went ahead and installed one of these tampon dispensers at Brookfield High School. Well, the boys would have none of this. They went in there literally minutes later. In 20 minutes, they had just ripped the thing off the wall, thrown it on the floor, and basically destroyed this tampon dispenser. And the end of the story is, as a result, they have introduced a new bill in Connecticut that would actually shift the decision-making on this issue away from the state board of education, shift it to the local school board. So, it's not a perfect solution, but it just shows, when individual citizens and boys and girls say enough is enough, things happen.
It literally is what Rand talked about. In throwing a wrench in the machine, I'm gonna stop the machine of the world. Ed Bartlett, how do folks find out more about the good work you guys are doing at Save?
Yeah, saveservices.org. Saveservices.org. Go to the first page there. Click on the link so you can sign up to give your oral testimony to to the OMB. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to have a PhD. You can be a parent. You can be any citizen that is outraged, like I am, about this Title IX proposal can say your piece. Say it politely, but say it with conviction that we just have to stop this.
Hear, hear. Ed Bartlett, thank you so very much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Andrew.
That was Ed Bartlett, SAVE services.org. Go and check it out. I am Andrew Langer. I'm in for Tony Katz. This is Tony Katz Today. There we go. So there are a lot of quotes. You know, 1984 is a lot of it has to do with Winston Smith's deep and abiding concern for the past being erased. And we all know who controls the past, controls the present. He controls the present, controls the future. I mean, obviously, that's basic 1984. But this is the quote that I was looking for. And this is, of course, in regards to, if you haven't heard this story yet, this situation out of the VA, the Veterans Affairs Administration, in which an undersecretary is calling for the removal of that iconic picture of the sailor kissing the nurse in Times Square on VJ Day, the day that that we achieved victory over the Japanese in World War II and ended the war fully. And I was reminded of this quote. Every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book has been rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street and building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And that process is continuing day by day, minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. I mean, that is a description for what is happening now. It's just what Ed Bartlett was talking about a moment ago. It's what Pete Gidl was talking about earlier. When you control this machinery, you have the fundamental ability to manipulate minds and gaslight Americans. The only way to hedge against it is to have the free and abiding exchange of information, the exchange of ideas. So never mind. Listen, I want to start getting into the other big issue of the week. Obviously, the biggest news story yesterday, which was the Supreme Court voting 9-0. And you know something? Before I tee up these things, let me talk about this. It was a 9-0 unanimous decision. There are many on the left who would have you believe that because there were concurrences written, that it was in fact a 5-4 decision. That is not true. And I made this point yesterday, and I made this point last week in talking about this. What matters in the end is the ultimate decision, that is to put Donald Trump on the ballot. Concurrences exist because various justices will come to this conclusion in a myriad of different ways under different aspects of the law. All 9 justices were on this opinion, and it's very important to understand that the main opinion was unsigned because they wanted to make it clear that it was an expression of unanimity, which is the point that Justice Amy Coney Barrett wanted to underscore in her concurrence. The fact that Justices Kagan, Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson wanted to wish that the ruling had been a little narrower in scope doesn't take away from the fact that they all agreed in the ultimate decision, which was to overturn the prior court. I mean, that's the thing that gets me here. And you know something? In the next hour, I want to spend some time talking about Jenna Griswold, the Colorado Secretary of State, her reaction to all of this, because it really does. I mean, it gets in there. All about this. Actually, you know something, Jason, before we go to a break, I will play now the cut number 9. Let me tee it up first. Cut number 9, so just be ready with that. In which there was a moment of hilarity yesterday talking about where Jake Tapper was talking to Nikki Haley and got the word insurrection wrong. Go ahead. Let's play cut number nine.
Explanation was not they didn't like Donald Trump. They said he participated in an erection. And I have to an insurrection. And I have to say, I got up at 5 this morning to do Casey Hunt's show, and I'm exhausted. So,
except they didn't say he engaged in an insurrection. I mean, maybe he's talking about the Colorado court. But the reality is, the Supreme Court did not have to rule on this. Yes, it's a funny little moment. Ha ha. He said the E word. I'm not going to repeat it now. It was Jake Tapper. He said it, not me. But the reality is, they didn't have to talk about the issue of whether or not January 6th was an insurrection in order for them to reach their ultimate goal here. And that's the thing that gets me about all this as these narratives take shape. You know, that there is this gaslight, this massive gaslighting going on. In fact, we're going to hear from some of that. And MSNBC, as we can imagine, was the worst in all of this. They just were agog at all at that this was going on. In fact, I had a conversation with my colleague Jerry Rogers before I came on the air about bad takes. He was talking about somebody on MSNBC. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was somebody at the Washington Post who was being very contradictory. For me, the worst is David French, who you know, claims to be... Listen, we get, right, Jamie Raskin thinks that he's a congressional scholar. We know that he isn't. You know, it's a damn shame. I said it. I should have said darn shame. Sorry. It's a shame that students at American University have to have Jamie Raskin as a con law professor. But the worst is David French, who markets himself as a committed principal conservative, but he isn't. And so rather than admit yesterday that his full-throated defense of Colorado on constitutional grounds may have been wrong, instead, he doubled down on this. No, it's not me. It wasn't me who's wrong. All 9 justices on the Supreme Court, including the 3 liberal members of the High Court, they're the ones who are wrong. David French is apparently more to the left on the High Court than Jackson and Kagan and Sotomayor. Tony Katz going to be joining us in the next hour, jam-packed. I'm Andrew Langer. This is Tony Katz Today.